Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of the Melanin Week podcast. We are so glad that you've joined us again. Yeah, thank you for showing up every week. Melanin do chin yakuna bleaching, black is beautiful, you're not teaching, girls are thinking, ni makin true na makwin, squad your debaka DJ. So today, as we promised you, we have a special episode. We have a guest. We've been planning to have more guests on the episode. So, and I don't know if we should dive right into introductions. Jane, you have something to say?
Yeah, Moni is not with us today, but she will be joining us in the next episode. But yeah, like we said, we have a special guest because she's an expert of the topic that we're going to be talking about, and we are so excited to have her. She can tell us something about herself and how she knows us or how she's connected to us.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for inviting me to this episode. A little bit nervous, but hopefully everything goes well.
You'll be fine.
Yes. So my name is Linda, and I know Remy now for, 4 years, maybe?
Something like that. 4 years?
I believe so, because I was maybe pregnant.
Okay.
When we, like, started to hang out.
That's how we count.
I was invited by you.
Yeah. Yeah, so Linda is such a good friend of mine, but apparently Linda and Jane have not met yet. This is your debut,
Yeah,
of meeting.
Yeah,
Jane, when you visit next, we need to have a girls' night.
Absolutely.
And then you will
absolutely
see. You see that halo she's trying to put?
Yeah, I mean, Linda is one of those people that I've wanted to meet. Like, like I said, I've had nice things about her, and yeah, she's one of those people that I would like to meet without children.
Without children,
that sounds perfect.
Yeah, but I know her son. Actually, I know Linda's son, and they go way back with my son. Like, they have lived together.
Remember the party? When we met, the kids' birthday party.
Yeah.
And your son was fighting with another boy.
Yeah.
That was her son. And he still remembers.
Really? He still has a grudge. Like.
Oh, boy. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So you have a connection. Deeper than you think.
Yeah. I never knew that. But now I know.
Yeah. So anyway, we decided to have Linda on the show today so that we can talk about a topic that I think the three of us have in common, and that's raising multicultural children in Finland. And I think this is such a lovely dynamic because the three of us, we do have multicultural children, but we are all different. Our families are totally different. So I can start by saying, for example, I'm a single parent. So the multiculturalism is seen way differently than how it's seen in Remy's family or Linda's family.
Mm.
And Remy, you want to tell us about your family dynamic?
Well, it's me, my partner, and two kids. I'm from Kenya, as you all know. And my partner is Finnish. Yeah, so that's where the two cultures come in.
Yeah. And Linda?
It's me. I'm Finnish, and my husband is African American, and we have two boys, mixed boys.
Yeah. So I think, like, this is so, it's such a diabolic dynamic in the sense that Remy and I are from Kenya, and it's so nice to have a Finnish mom in the show, like just to see how.
At first, we wanted to record this just me and Jane.
Yeah.
Then we thought like this will be quite one-sided because we are both now from Kenya, living in a country like where we're not born in, so our experiences are the same. But then now bringing you in, you are from Finland, but then your partner is from elsewhere. So then it gives a whole other, you see things from a whole other different point of view.
So yeah, it's great that we have Linda with us. And I think for me, every time I think of mixed race kids, I always imagine those children with Finnish mothers tend to, if I can use this word loosely, like they tend to strive more, like they have more confidence as compared to kids with the mothers from other sides. You know, like Remy, we've been talking about this, these children who excel, like in, they're so confident in sports and all that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I wonder, is it because the mother is a Finn or does it have anything to do with them getting the culture more from the mother, or how does it go? But yeah, let's talk about it and see where it leads us. I don't know.
I wonder, could that be something that what I see from my husband, that when like he is not from here, he has been here already like maybe 12 years or so, but I see that he doesn't like trust the Finnish system, if I can say so.
Okay.
Like, can it come from that he is like little suspicious with everything because this is not like comfortable for him. He has only like, he has been raised in USA and seen how the system works there. He's confident with that. But now he's in another country with like weird language, weird habits, weird culture. So he's a little like, you know, unsecure.
I think I would agree with that because I'm just thinking about the little things. Like I remember when my son started daycare and they would just let him go up and down the snow hills and roll himself there. And I'm just seeing how in my head, like, oh my God, it's so cold. Like this boy is going to fall down and break his this and that. However, for somebody who's been brought up here, that is something normal. Like, so they let their kids be and grow up just as the other children in the society. But for somebody who's not grown up here, they're very, very careful with letting children just explore different things that normal Finnish kids do explore. Like, you're very, very careful. So I agree with Linda in that way.
That's true.
Okay. Anyway, point to ponder. I was just wondering, like, which culture do you guys follow the most at home? Like, is it the Finnish culture or is it the other culture? Like, which culture is followed most?
Which, like, is like dominant? I don't know why I feel like it's maybe 50-50, but I feel like maybe the Finnish culture is dominant because it's more, how can I say? I mean, it's everywhere. Like, I feel like I have less power to instill my own culture. Yeah, maybe the Finnish.
What would you say, Linda?
Totally Finnish. I think we could do a lot more to keep the other culture in a daily life. Like, that's something that we should really, like, try to focus for. But it is the Finnish. And for me, like, I feel like because I'm the Finnish one, so I don't kind of even notice the other culture missing if the other person is not, like, trying to keep it daily life. But, yeah, a lot more the Finnish. What about you, Jane?
I would say for me it's 50-50, very much 50-50, because it's me who's enforcing the culture, like in my home. And of course the outside influence comes in quite much because of school and hobbies and living in this society. And of course I have decided to pick and drop the culture that I choose to have in my home and create my own culture when it suits me. When it suits me.
Like, so there's no one else to oppose you in that way. Like
exactly. If I if I decide that in this house our culture is that we don't eat on the table, then that's it. That's not the Kenyan culture, neither is it the Finnish culture. It's just my culture. So we pick and drop. Mm-hmm. Or I pick and drop as it suits me in that way. Yeah. But then before we go on, I'm just wondering, what is this culture that we're talking about? Like, somebody is sitting somewhere and wondering, what is this culture that we're talking about? Is it food culture? Is it the way we talk? Is it the way we discipline our children? What is this culture that we are actually talking about? Linda, what would you say it is?
It's a good question, because, you know, I have lived in this culture my whole life, so it's hard to see what is it. Like, when we went to visit my husband's family, I can point out many things that what their culture is, because I see the difference. But now, when I'm living this culture, it's hard to say. But I would say, compared to my husband's family, we're very, like, calm, we're very independent, or we have been taught this way that we have to be independent, kind of lame compared to the other cultures, I feel. Like, maybe you are better to tell what is this culture.
Do you feel like, I get what you mean, because sometimes it's hard to even think, is it culture or is it just someone's behavior? Because those are also two separate things. Yeah, but I would say culture is maybe, like, I mean, food is one thing. Maybe how you speak to people, or, like, I'm thinking, like, how you react to when people come to visit or are leaving or you meet someone.
And what comes to that, Finnish people are very, like, shy. I feel like if you go to the bus and you want to sit next to someone, like, you don't talk, you barely even look to each other. Like, it's weird,
and you only sit next to them if there's no other empty seat.
I know.
You know, yesterday I was just telling you, I was at a work party, and then I came in and majority of the people had already arrived. So, I mean, these are our workmates, this is a party, like, just a very informal party, just to hang out together. And people are sitting, I guess the ones who came sat fastest, and then the next one came, skipped one seat, and now sat on the next one. And then another two, and then the next one skipped another seat. And I'm thinking, are you people serious?
Yeah.
We came to bond and, like, just have a good time together, and we aren't even spacing out each other. Like, I don't know. Yeah, but those are the small things that you just start to notice. So I guess, maybe such kind of things. I don't know, like, nakedness. Or would I call it? I don't know what I would call it. But that's something, what should I say? Something I've noticed and something someone pointed out to me.
Like more normal here?
Yeah, it's more, like, normal here. Yeah, like going to shower with your kids, even when they're like 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, sauna together. Like, that's something so not normal. But now, I find myself, I don't even notice it. Like, I've been, it's become normal to me as well.
Is it a good or bad thing?
That's the thing. I don't even know. I don't think there's any. I don't know. because I was telling a relative of mine, like, yeah, I just made, like, we're just talking. And I'm like, yeah, so I went to shower with the kids. Or did I say we've all went to shower or something? And she was looking at me like, you did what? I'm like, yeah, we went to shower.
Yeah.
Like, what? Like, it was such a big deal. And that's when I realized, yeah.
But you haven't even noticed yourself that you, like, adjusting to this culture, kind
exactly.
of.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And those are the things, like, I don't even, yeah, as you said, I don't know what's right or wrong.
I don't think there's anything right or wrong. It's just a question of what do you enforce in your home? Like, like I said, I pick and drop some things because, like, showering with my son, for example, or going to sauna with him, I had no choice. I mean, we were going to the swimming hole together when he was younger. And at that point, there's nothing I would have done. So it became quite typical also for us to go to the sauna together and shower with him and stuff like that. So nudity in our family is not a big deal. Well, now as he grows older, you can see that he doesn't want, like, he's the one who's shying away. And I think in that way, that's also part of the Finnish culture. Like, he's realizing that now I'm a big boy. I don't want to hang out with my mom when she's naked or... he still will come to the sauna with me, but he's not very comfortable. Yeah, and I think in that way, that's what I said, like, we always pick and drop these cultural things by default to some extent.
Has there been, like, situations where you thinking that you wanna, like, stick to your own culture more?
Yeah. Definitely.
Like, I don't know, there's this how can I say what I mentioned, like, when people come to visit and they're leaving, like, when you get into the house or someone comes to visit your place, I think it's just good manners to say
hi.
When they're leaving, you say bye. You don't have to hug, you don't have to shake, just acknowledge that, you know, they came in. And that's something, even from the days, like, when we were studying, you'd notice, like, you'd be in a party, and when the Finnish people came in, they just went to talk to where they, whoever they know. Like, you don't acknowledge. Just say hi to people. And I used to find it so rude. I'm thinking, what's wrong with these people, you know? But then I came to realize it is the culture in Kenya. You will enter a room. You will greet everyone, if not hug them. You will get to know their name and how they're related to the host, and I don't know to who else. You know? So in a way, that's something I feel like, no, that one is a must. Like, I force my kids to just come, stand by the door and say bye, you know? Like, you don't have to hug, just say bye or say hi or, you know.
But I think it's something that you can, like, decide or choose that what you want to continue from your culture, that you see that it's working better than here and vice versa.
I would have to agree, like, there are things that definitely I choose to keep my culture, and one of them is language. I mean, that's a big deal for me. Like, there are no two ways about it, but he has to learn my language. And like Remy said, the social interactions. I remember once we met with somebody on the street. This is not somebody that I could call my friend or even acquaintance. It's just someone that I know. And every time we meet, he wants to have a small talk with me. And my son is always very quick to walk away, like, and pretend that he's not even seen this person and just disappear, you know. And I get it's uncomfortable because he doesn't know him, and mama is always saying hi to everyone, and she's overly social, and it's irritating. I get it. But I have told him that boy, you're not going to be doing those things. Like, you will look at somebody and acknowledge that that person is in existence and say hi. You know, look at them in the eye and say hello and then walk away. But you need to acknowledge people. You just cannot walk past. It's like they don't exist. I don't need him to talk to everyone, but he can just acknowledge somebody by saying hi. Yeah. Like those Yeah, and then I'm wondering, like, how do you guys deal with, like, some obvious cultural differences that are so different and you don't necessarily even agree with them, but you choose to respect the other culture? And I would go now to the very extreme, say something like circumcision. In our culture, we circumcise our boys. In the Finnish culture, you don't touch the penis, like that's mutilation. So how do you handle those kind of extreme cultural differences in your families when you're bringing up your kids? I mean, Remy and I maybe can say that the kids are not yet of that age of circumcision, but yeah, would you try to put yourself 10 years, no, 5 years from now, six?
About five, six years from now.
Yeah.
First of all, Linda, do they do circumcision in African American?
No, they don't.
Okay.
So
they don't
face that.
No. Jane.
Linda, no. Can you move like
not
me? So I can at least they don't?
At least this family don't.
Okay. Interesting.
So I haven't had to face this issue yet, but other issues, yes, of course, has been that we like don't agree with, or at first we don't agree with, but then I think we have learned, of course, now we've been together for a long time, so nothing surprising coming up anymore, but in the beginning, like, for example, we had the first child, and I was putting the child outside for a nap in the middle of the winter. And my mother-in-law like was like, oh my goodness, and this is a crime, and I'm like killing the baby. And for me, it was like, what? That this is what we do. So, of course, just learning the other culture, talking. And for the other one to see that, okay, this doesn't harm the baby. This is what they've been doing for decades. Then it makes it easier. But of course, if that would have been something very, very hard for my husband, I guess I would have had to like maybe think that, well, is this necessary? Or what could we do to meet in a halfway?
Was it a shock for him?
It like, was. It well. Was. Yeah, but maybe more for the mother-in-law than for him. That is just one example.
Yeah, if you went with the kids, say, to the States, and it's a nice winter day, and you want to put the child outside to sleep, like, given what you know now, would you even try? Like, if you were in America and you wanted to put your kids outside, okay, that's exactly what I, that's what I was thinking, like, respecting the other person's culture or way of life,
Like now when we went and my husband already said that, hey, in a house you don't walk barefoot, you have to have either socks or you prefer the slippers, like inside slippers. So we already like made it clear for the kids that, hey, this is how they do and we have to respect it.
What's the thing about not walking?
Because there, you know, where you walk, when you walk in with your outdoor shoes and you walk all the way to your room, or you can go to the kitchen anywhere. So I guess, I don't know, is it the fact that the floor is not that clean? Then if you walk there barefooted and you go to bed or something, then your feet are dirty.
But nice that you even talked with the kids, you know, so nothing is a shock.
That's really nice.
That's really nice. That's really nice.
Yeah, like try to get them prepared.
Interesting. Remy. I'm thinking more in the lines of disciplining. like in Kenya, it's very common to, you know, pinch your kids, whoop them up, like all sorts of extremes, you know. And that's not something you normally do here. Maybe a bit you can, you know, I don't know, like tap the back of your hand or... Yeah, so in the beginning, well, my husband didn't really comment on it, but I knew myself that it's something that's not actually done here. But sometimes you're just so angry in the moment and you like pull the ears. But then I started to think that, you know, they'll go to daycare and they'll say, Mama does this. And I think maybe more out of fear of
getting caught.
On my door. I'm like, okay, now this has to end. Yeah, like, yeah.
But I have like experienced the same that we had the different opinion about that.
Yeah.
And yeah, I guess we have met in the halfway now that we like respect what we think about it.
That's really nice. But I think, okay, yeah, and then maybe not even that physical, in, apart from that physical, like, discipline, even, like, giving punishment. I don't know. Not this the part I don't know. Is this just is it a culture or is this just a personal thing? Because I think my husband is very, very lenient on the kids and I'm more strict. So I don't know if that's personal or is it, I don't know. It's hard to say. Yeah, because I'm like, okay, you do this, you'll get punished, and you know. And then you do it, and I put them on punishment, is it time out? Okay, I think we are now past even time out or whatever it is. And he'll be like, oh, maybe you can just watch a bit, or maybe you can just have... I'm like, no, you know, we decided it's this and it's this. You know, so, but yeah, I have a feeling that maybe a bit more... a personality. What would you say?
I would say that, well, I can only like reflect it to the African Americans, but they are more strict than we are. And yeah, maybe it is a bit cultural, but I don't think it's a good thing. Like I would say you have to be strict for them to understand when you're serious and when you're not. Because if you always just bend and you don't like, you first you say you're punished and then you're not, they don't, they will not take you serious.
Seriously, exactly. Okay, a comment on that.
About what? Punishment. We are the Nazi. And that's my culture. In this house, there's only one law.
Objection. Jen's law.
Yeah.
It's your way or
it's
the highway.
It's my culture, it's my law, it's my everything. Yeah, but I'm thinking about some things like, I don't get Halloween. I hate a Halloween in every way. This is, it has nothing to do with my culture. It has nothing to do with religion. It has nothing to do with anything. But I just don't understand why we should have one day designated to scare each other and wear stupid costumes and eat candy. And
Jean, are you sure? Do you remember that Halloween party we once went to?
Forget it. Yeah, no, that is the past.
Shall I explain?
No, that was the past. We were not. Yeah, but anyway, in this house we don't celebrate Halloween in any way. In any form, and I have made it clear, and my son understands that, and it's been very tricky to balance when there's the school is having Halloween parties and the daycares and all that, and trying to explain to him actually that why we don't celebrate Halloween yet everyone else does. I have told him all sorts of things. It's not the Finnish culture to celebrate Halloween. It's not a Kenyan culture to celebrate Halloween. What is the point of scaring people and drawing witches and all sorts of things. Like, it's just a waste of money. It is all sorts of things. And I think just for him to be able right now to go to school and say that, hey, us guys don't celebrate Halloween and it doesn't belong to our culture. Like, it's not part of our culture. It makes me feel like I have excelled in that. Like, now he understands and he can actually say it by himself that, hey, I'm not going to be part of this Halloween party, or I'm not coming for a Halloween party, or I'm not doing this and that. And explain it in a way that is not disrespectful to anyone. Like, he's not saying that you guys are doing wrong, because nobody is doing anything wrong actually celebrating Halloween, but it's just my thing. And yeah.
Okay, so like when the others are making costumes and going with them to school, he doesn't carry anything.
He doesn't.
Wow, that's nice.
Yeah. He doesn't. And in the when he was going for this evening club, they had a Halloween party, and I just told them that, nope, my son is not coming, and I don't expect you guys to do anything different. However, he is still going to go to school, and since Halloween is not part of the curriculum in any way, they cannot force him to be part of any party or anything like that, because that's not part of the school curriculum. So in that way, I think I would make a big deal out of it if he was segregated because of not celebrating Halloween in the school. But any outside activity, then we can opt for him not going.
Nice. I just thought of the Easter celebrations in Finland. Like, people go, hey Linda, you explain what you people do.
They wear witches clothes like that.
I don't even know where does that come from, but like the old habit, like when I was a child, we put up a witch costume, like we were witches. And then we had these little piece of trees that we decorated, and we went from door to door to say this little rhyme, and then the people give candy, and you give that piece of tree for that person who gave you the candy.
Yeah.
I don't know where does that come from, but I actually don't even know, but does people still do that?
You've been doing it. Yeah. I've not been doing it.
You haven't been?
Because that's the most weirdest thing I ever saw. Like, it didn't make sense.
And why on Easter? Like, really?
Like, when I think of Easter, it's like religious. It has nothing to do with witches. Like, it just didn't make sense to me.
There must be a story.
Well, I've never bothered to Google. But yeah, I think that's one thing I just decided, even before I think I had kids, like, I don't think this is something I'm going to be doing, because I don't even understand what's happening, you know? And then, of course, when the kids were really small, it wasn't a big deal, but then when they start understanding, and it's the talk of the daycare, and everyone you meet, did you guys go do this? Did you get a lot of candy? And they're looking at them like, what is that?
We don't know. Where?
And then one Easter, I think a couple of years ago, my husband decided they are going to do it. And I don't know, I just thought it's their thing. It's something he did as a child, so why should I take that away from him if he wants to do it with his children? So I guess those are the points where you just have to compromise. Yeah. And I think it's not bringing any danger to us. It's not like going to affect them psychologically. It's just a practice they do as kids. But I said, I will not get involved. If you want to do it, do it. Look for those things, decorate the face, look for the candy, blah, blah, blah. And then, it's their thing. I'm not involved.
Remy, if your son asks you, or your kids ask you, Mama, why aren't you coming with us to wear witches costumes, what are you going to tell them?
I think I would say, this is not something we do in Kenya, and so I don't understand it, and I don't want to do it. I don't know.
But yeah. I think it's also good to teach that you don't have to do anything that you don't feel comfortable
exactly.
doing.
Exactly. Yes.
So you have yeah. a right yeah. to say, no, yeah. I'm not doing
mm.
it.
Exactly.
Mm.
True.
And you don't have to do everything that everyone else is doing if you're not
yeah.
comfortable
yeah.
with
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Mm.
yeah.
Yeah.
True.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. That's nice. Mm. Okay. Moving on, now we are getting to a hard question, and I think this mm-hmm. is probably the last question. So all of us have mixed race kids.
Mm-hmm.
So when did your kids first notice that they were the color that they are? They're not their mm-hmm. father's color, they're not their mother's color, they're something.
I don't remember the exact age.
Mm-hmm.
My sons are 8, almost 9, and then the younger one is 3.5. The younger one still don't understand anything.
He knows anything.
No, but the older one, I remember the times when he was like touching our like hands mm-hmm. and saying like, "Mommy is white, Daddy is brown," and mm-hmm. then like being like, "What am I?" and then something in the mm-hmm. middle. And of course, we were like telling the colors, you know, but I don't ever remember him thinking that he's different.
Yeah.
That it was always like such a normal thing that we have all these 3 colors in the family.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Mm.
What about you?
I think my son was maybe 4. When, like, we were dressing in front of the mirror and he made a comment like, "Mama, I'm not like you." And I asked him, like, "What do you mean you're not like me?" And he's like, "Yeah, look at the skin. It's not the same." I'm like, "Yeah, we're a bit different." And I say that Dad is also a bit different. And, yeah. That's just how it is. And okay, this is just a side note. Every time he says, like, someone has something, I always remind him like, yeah, everyone is different. There's no one who looks like the other, and people are so different, or why does this one have that? And I always tell him, people are so different. Like, I want him to get to that. Like, we're not supposed to be the same, you know? Yeah. But he's never like, I think that just was it. Like, it just hit him.
Yeah,
like,
he noticed
like we're different colors. But it's
yeah. I remember also my son, he must have been 4 or 5 when he said that I am brown and he is not. So I asked him, "So what are you?" And he was confused. Like, the boy was totally confused. You could just see that he didn't have any answer to that. No. Like, what am I? Like, okay, mama is brown. But what could I possibly be? And then we came up with light brown. Like, he's light brown. And he was like, "Yeah, I'm light brown because my father is not brown." And that was the other thing, like, he didn't even know like what to say about white skinned people, like, because for him at that point, color is color, you know. And okay, so mama is brown and I am light brown, what are these other people like, what color do we give them, like, you know. And I remember us talking about, is it white? Are they really white? Or are they fair? Like, are they light skinned?
Yeah, because they're not white.
There's nobody who's white.
Even said first pink, that we like pink.
Yeah, because I don't think there's anybody who's white and there's no one who's black. So this color variations, they just become crazy, you know, and we stuck to the light skinned person. So there's a light skinned person, there's a brown person, and then there's a light brown person, and those are the races that we have in this house.
In your house. So,
in our house again, the culture.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, but it was really interesting, like, just going through the concept of race with him. Like, and it wasn't necessarily about race, but him realizing himself that he's different, but what is he? Like, what exactly is he? Yeah.
I remember my son asked once, like, why I'm this brown? And I was just blank, like I didn't know what to say. And then I just told him, yeah, you know where mama is born, there's a lot of sun, so that's why I'm brown. And then he much later, actually it's not so long ago, he asked me, mama, does everyone who is born like where it's hot, are they all brown skinned? No, they are not.
No,
exactly. And I didn't know what to tell him. Like, I didn't know how to explain race to an 8-year-old. Like, even I myself, I don't even know how to explain it to an adult.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, people are just different. That's my best answer nowadays. Like, there are people who are brown, like me, even darker brown, some were lighter. It doesn't really. Doesn't mean because you're born in a sunny place. It's
And I think for me, something that has become something that I've been thinking a lot about is introducing my son to the concept that he's a mixed film person. You know, he's mixed, and that's it. Because many times they kids who are biracial, they tend to be made to put themselves in a box. Like, they have to fit either in, you're either black or white, like, and then they miss the identity of who they are. But in reality, they are mixed race, and that is who they are. Like, if we have to put them in a box somewhere, then they belong to this box of mixed race children who do not fall into any stereotypical category in that case. Because sometimes I feel like there's so much pressure for them to identify themselves as something. So when a white-skinned person is talking to a mixed-race kids, then they see that this child is dark. Like, this is a brown-skinned person. And then when a dark-skinned person is talking to a mixed-race kid, they think that this child is white. And I think it's just so wrong. And I believe that we as parents should create this identity for these children, that you are a mixed-race Finn, and that is who you are, and you don't have to pick and drop to be anything else.
I have a question for Linda. Like, when you're here in Finland, say... hanging out with your family and friends who are now just Finns, do you feel that like your kids are seen as the brown kids?
Good question. I don't know, because at least they haven't said anything to me like that.
And then on the other side, like when you go to the States and you hang out with your husband's family, and maybe you're in a group, you know, it's just African Americans. Yeah. Do you feel like the kids are seen as more white?
They were seen black.
They were seen.
They were
black.
Seen black, and they were all the time like told that you are black.
Wow.
Yeah. Really?
And when and when we were talking about the kids, and my husband's aunt was like giving me a very good talk about race and raising the black kids. He never mentioned they mixed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, all the time she brought it up that you have to understand they are black. They black kids.
Oh, wow.
A white
country. But they're not. Like, oh, my goodness,
But that's the thing. Like, I don't know, Jane, if you've noticed. Like, when we go to Kenya, the kids are white. They are white. They are as white as
they
are.
They're white.
Wow.
Mm. They're even wondering why they're not speaking English and they're white.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
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 Why do you think it is that way?
I don't...
And does it feel bad to you?
It does.
It does.
Yeah. It does.
Yeah. Because
I'm fighting so hard here to teach them our ways and, you know, language, food and all that. so that they can integrate better in their blackness,
exactly.
In their home, in their other half of their home. But then when they go to that home, they're being told, who are you? You're not
part of us. But then when they come here, they are not white either.
Yeah,
so that's the problem that that Jane just said, that they don't fit anywhere. They don't fit in the black culture, but either the white.
So they have surprised. The African Americans are totally different.
At least my husband's family, they were right away that these black kids. Yeah.
But then do you feel, was it, are they too black that you can, they cannot have any whiteness in them? Like if you would teach them your ways, would it be a clash? You get what I mean?
Of course they see me as white because I am white.
Yeah, are they giving you space to also teach them? If to so to say white white people's
way. Well, maybe it depends of the family member. I would say I have faced both. But what I seen is the fact that I don't know if you can relate, but it is a lot of this since they boys and they black boys that they have to like be kind of a certain way. They have to know how to defend themselves. They have to be tough. They have to be this because they are black boys. So I feel like that is like something that like I was always a bit like of course I haven't lived in that culture. I cannot even imagine what it is and what they have faced. So I'm sure it comes from the history and their experiences that why black boys has to be certain way. But then on the other hand, I'm thinking that of course my son can be how he is because there's different personalities.
Exactly.
Some people are, or some kids are more tough and then some kids are more soft. So is there only one box I have to raise them that they have to be tough? You know,
was this coming more from the men? In women. The family, even women.
Also the women.
Okay.
Wow. That's interesting.
It is. But do you can you relate to that?
Like that boys have to be especially certain the boys. To some extent, And especially like when I'm thinking now of the circumcision. Because I know of at least Kenyan families who, so in Kenya, the boys are circumcised when they're like 15. And I know like now people who are living in Finland with Finnish partners and they have had kids, that they circumcise the kids immediately at birth because by the time they are 15, this is my understanding of the situation. First, they are living in Finland, so there's no way they'll get circumcised anywhere at 15. And the boys will probably have grown up to, you know, say, hey,
to say no,
I don't want this.
So, yeah, so this is done like backdoor. Of course, it's not something you don't go to your local doctor and say, hey, So, of course, in that way, it's like you want them to be a certain way. Like there's a way
that you have decided.
You have decided for them. For them. And it's like they will not be accepted in your community if they're not a certain way. Well, I don't agree with that whole thing, but
So maybe everyone that makes their own decision. Like more like a religious thing, is it?
No, it's not religious. It's not religious. Cultural.
And in a way, the reason why they're doing it when the boys are very young is so that they miss the culture in that way. Because our culture is that when a boy is circumcised, then he's no longer a boy, he's a man. So it's you can say it's more or less like the ripicolo here, like the confirmation.
Yeah, it's actually so as big as the ripicolo.
It's just a rite of passage. Like then you become a responsible person of the society. Like you can make your own decisions. You can, like you're a man in that way. And personally, I don't see anything wrong with the circumcision culture. I'm not against it, However, and there's a lot of things that happen before even the circumcision itself and after the circumcision, and they're not necessarily bad things. Like, at that point is when I think this boy is taught how to be a typical Kenyan man or a traditional man, so to speak. And it's not necessarily bad things that they are taught there. So in my opinion, my son's penis is his penis. He can do whatever he wants with it. He can cut all of it if he wants. He can get circumcised. He can he can do whatever he wants with it, to do with it. And of course, there's a cultural bit of it. And for me, I feel like when he turns 15, I would want him to go to Kenya and sit down with a Kenyan man. Maybe not even from my tribe, per se, but a Kenyan man who has gone through the rite of passage. And yeah, just talk about what it means to be a typical Kenyan man, what kind of obligations and duties he has as a Kenyan man, you know. Then after that, he chooses what to do with his penis. Because I think that's part of teaching him what the culture is, what it means to be a Kenyan man. And at the same time, he gets his ripikolu here and he can do whatever he wants also. Yeah. So it's a win-win for for both cultures. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Hey, we are soon winding up. This has been already quite a long conversation. Oh my goodness. Can't believe how fast.
I know. I'm thinking it's over. We didn't have any more questions.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, are there any dilemmas that you've been through or you've had while raising this multicultural, like, big dilemmas, and you still don't have the right and or wrong answer? You don't know what to do about the situation.
I feel for me, I have had to do, like, a lot of learning about black culture because I haven't experienced it myself, so it's hard to, like, know. And in the beginning, I really did not get everything, and I was not like getting it, but I had to, like, learn, and I'm still learning. But of course, I'm also thinking that will I ever understand as a white woman how my black kids are feeling, how they are experiencing stuff. What if they face racism? They haven't yet. Not that I know of, at least. But how would I react? What would I have to do? Like, this is something that I am still thinking, that what is there to come? And will I know how to, like, react rightly? How will my husband react? Like, this is still, like, very unknown to me.
But it's nice, because feel I feel, like, from your what you're saying, you feel you're as equally responsible.
Yes, of course.
So you don't assume just because your husband is the one who's black and he's the one who's experienced maybe racism, that it's his responsibility now to teach them or to handle it. But it's really nice.
No, it's not only his. It's also mine. But of course, it's the fact that he will maybe know it better than me. But I still want to learn, and I will defend them, you know.
How would you guys feel or handle a situation where your kid comes home and tells you that today the teacher asked me to say something about America, or tell them about the civil war that happened in America, or tell them about Kinta Kunte or whoever it is who lives somewhere in Africa, like your child being the representation of somewhere that they don't live just because they look a certain way, or they have parents who are different, or they themselves are different, they're termed as black or whatever. How would you handle such a situation? How do you get the question?
Well, yeah, I get what you mean. first I would feel quite like, how can I say, I don't know if it's offended, I wouldn't mm-hmm. be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're just assuming, just because of the skin color of this child, how are they supposed to know the history of, I don't know where, they have lived in Finland, just like you,
yeah,
even much less years, like, you know, I think I would be very offended, I would not be happy. Yeah.
Would you contact the teacher?
I think I would, yeah, yeah. And putting a child on the spot like that, I think it's not nice, it's not at fair. All. Has it happened to you?
No, not necessarily the same thing, but when my son was 7, they're in the first grade and they went to the library, and he wanted to borrow a book, but he had forgotten his library card, so they agreed that he could reserve the book and then we can go together with the library card and he will pick the book. So there were two boys who didn't have their library cards, so he was asked his name and he said his name, and then he said both his names, and the librarian said that your name is so hassle, how would you
that's a word I never understand.
Funny.
Yeah.
So weird. Yeah, weird. Yeah. Your name is so weird, I cannot write it down. Okay, like, so she could not write down his name because it's very hassle. And so she did not reserve the book for him, but she reserved the book to the person who had both Finnish names. And my son came home and told me that, you know, I had reserved a book, but she said that my name is so hassle, and my goodness, I was just thinking, I need to calm down. I need to calm down, but I need to go to the library now, like now, like not tomorrow. But I need to handle myself with, be very careful with how I phrase myself so that this person can understand that what they did was not right. So I went to the library and we went straight to the kids section, and I asked the lady who was there, like, were you the one who was at work when these kids came to borrow the books? And she was like, no, I wasn't the one. So I was like, could you please get the person who was here before? And she said that the person is not there. So what's the problem? I said, my son came here with the class and they borrowed the book, and this person said that his name was too hassle, for like too weird for her to write it, so she did not write down his name. And she was like, what? I was like, yeah, and I think this is something that you should discuss as the workplace, because you're trying to show this child that he's different just because his name does not sound like any other Finnish name. That is part of discrimination. And this child does not understand that his name is weird. And nobody's name is weird. Just because it sounds weird to your ears, you had rather write something on a piece of paper to just show him that you've written it down. Or call the teacher and ask, like, what is the name of this child? Because at that point,
ask the child to write it. If he's 7, you can, like, write his name.
Yeah, there are many ways of doing it. But you don't tell a child that their name is weird and just leave them out at it. And she was so apologetic, and really, she got the point. And I was like, I really, really hope that this is something you discuss with the rest of your colleagues. This is not just about the person who was here or you, but it's something that all of you need to talk about.
I think that was also very good. I don't know, was your son there while you were talking this?
Yes.
But that he was able to see that you will defend him, and you will be there to tell them that this is not right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think it's very good. So he just don't have to feel, you know, lonely with the situation.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the reason why I kept on telling myself that I need to be very calm about it. I think it was even a good thing that the person who did not write his name was not there, because probably I would be very emotional.
Yeah.
But it was nice for him also to see that you can actually have a conversation with somebody even though you're not happy about things.
Mm. Yeah. Maybe also when he's older enough, like, he could also say to this person, hey,
yeah,
I think you
did wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
And nobody's name is weird. I think, his name sounds weird to this person's ear. That's fine. But if this person went to Sweden, their name would sound weird. Like, it would be crazy if in this world we just said that everyone's name is weird just because it doesn't sound like something that you call normal.
I think it comes to the fact that, you know, we as a multicultural families, we think, how do we tell the kids about the race? But this is what every family has to think about, even just fully white family.
Exactly.
Have to talk about it too. It's not just our thing. It's everybody should be doing it.
I know.
Very true. Okay, any parting shots? Linda, how do you feel about this sitting down and having a discussion on air?
I'm ready to do a second episode.
Yay!
Thank you. It will be so much more to talk about.
Yeah.
It will be so much more.
I know. Nice, nice. So you've all had, she'll be back. She will be back.
I will be back.
Nice.
Yeah. Remy, I always feel shots? Like I feel like there's something I want to say, but I don't know. And then I always remember after we have said goodbye. I don't know. I don't know what it is I wanted to say, but
yeah.
It's okay.
My parting shot, I think, for any person who has a multicultural family. Keep it real, and I don't see there's no good or bad culture as long as it doesn't teach somebody. We all have our ethics. We know what is right and wrong. So if a culture does not teach anything that is wrong, I believe we can always mold these cultures. And cultures do evolve, and they have evolved over the years. So there's nothing wrong with molding your own little family culture and keeping the nice things and throwing away the not so nice things. And nothing is written on stone. I think for me that is something that is very clear. There are things, oh my God, I would have shaken just imagining that when I have my child, I'm going to be doing this and this and this with my kid. And now we are doing those things with him. And I'm like, who is this person? You know, so... Let's evolve with time.
I think we are at an advantage having different cultures in our home.
True.
Like, I mean, you're able to pick good things from many different sites. So I think these kids will get... Not that I'm saying they'll be better than other kids, but...
they will be.
It is a richness.
It's a richness. Exactly.
Yeah.
I guess I hope they will come to appreciate it one day when they're older. And hopefully maybe it will give them a better sense of understanding of other people and other cultures. When you meet different people who don't do things the same way you do, you just understand that's the way you do things. Nice, interesting.
It's true. But this has been so interesting, and it's been lovely, lovely, lovely having you, Linda, here. Like,
yes, it has.
Thank you for inviting me.
Really
good. So,
yeah.
Thank you guys for listening, and remember to like, share, and comment. Okay, did I say them all right? Yes, and we'll see you next time.
Bye. Melanin do chini akuna bleaching. Black is beautiful, you're not teaching. Girls are thinking, ni makin tu na makuin. Squad your debaka DJ.